We are here at the feet of Jesus. We are here to learn from him. Remember what the Lord says. Don't call anyone your teacher. You have only one teacher, that is Christ. The only teacher we have is Jesus. And Jesus in the person of the Holy Spirit. Today, we are going to talk about how to enter the presence of God. How to enter the inner circle of God, where we will be able to perceive, to have a sense of righteousness, a sensitivity in our consciousness and spirit. What you are calling, oh, something is in my heart, oh, intimation, you discover that you have your spirit become alive in Christ Jesus. When the Holy Ghost is prompting your heart, you will grow in knowledge and understanding, and you get sensitivity in your spirit, and you begin to perceive the things of God. The place where you meet God is not in the natural. Where you meet God is in the secret place. In the secret place, you meet God face to face, heart to heart with him. Your body cannot enter that place. Our natural mind cannot enter that place, but our spirit can, our conscious can. That's the communication point, contact point for God. That's where the river will start. Now, this is the counsel of God. The counsel of God. What's the meaning of the counsel of God? The counsel of God means the secret place, the meeting point God is waiting for you. The meeting point in the midst of the trouble of this day, in the trouble of this world, God is meeting for you in the secret place. When God sees that you are so troubled, you are so disturbed, you are so anxious, you are so angry, and you are fighting, you cannot listen to him. God is waiting for you at a secret place. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in to help us. When he comes to you, the first thing he will do, he will lead you to the right place. He will bring your heart, your mind to the consciousness of God. If you are a believer, Colossians chapter 3 said, set your heart, set your mind on the things that are from above, where Jesus is. Now, how can I enter the inner secret with God when I acknowledge his way? We have to follow the ways of the Spirit. On your screen, you can see left, the ways of the Spirit. The ways of the Spirit is to get us from the natural to the spiritual. The ways of the Spirit is to teach us the ways of God. What are the ways of God? The way of righteousness, as we talked about last week. But today, when you look at this graphic, when I talk about the counsel of God, Jesus takes us to the Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And that will be the proof text of today's message. Let's listen to the voice of wisdom. That is Jesus. Our Lord is speaking. Let me start even by verse 31. Jesus said to you and I, therefore, do not worry. Put your name there. So you're asking, do not worry. Put your names. Therefore, do not worry. What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 32. After all, these things the Gentiles seek. What does it mean? Jesus said, the unbelievers are the ones that ask this. What shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? How will I pay my rent? How will I pay my debt? How will I feed my children? That's what Jesus said. The Gentiles are seeking this. But you, listen to me. You, my brother. You, my sister. You, my dad. You, my mom. You, my brother. You who stop praying. The Lord is speaking to you. He said to you, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these. If God is your Father, he knows your need even before you express them. If God is your Father, he knows your ways. Before things happen, he's aware of it. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. I continue reading. Jesus said, verse 33, but you, listen to me, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What's the meaning? I repeat. Jesus says, If you ask what the Father wants you to ask, the Father will give you those things you would not ask. If you really ask what God wants you to ask, God will give you those things He didn't ask you to ask for, because He will provide for it. What do you ask? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is what the Lord said. But we are so much overwhelmed by the natural needs that we lose focus of these realities and begin to focus on what we do not have. If you continue to focus on what you do not have, you will never ask for the right thing. You should focus what God has called you to ask. That is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what Jesus said. We should ask spiritual things and leave the others to God. Come to me, you are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come to me, all you are poor, though you are sick. Come to me, I will give you peace, says Jesus. Mean the Lord has everything you need. He knows that. But He's waiting for you at the point of essential need. What God wants to hear from you is not the prayer you're offering. What God wants to hear from you is the prayer that will allow Him to step in righteousness into your life and to rebuild you in His ways. Jesus said, verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. What's the meaning of this? The problem we have today, one step is in the past, one step wants to jump into the future. We remember the trouble we had before, the pain we had, those who disappointed, those who caused harm. We worry about tomorrow, what will happen. But what about today? What about today? The secret of your life is in today. God is here today. What God asks you today is today. Today, today, faith is today, faith is now, God is now. Now is opportunity for a change, opportunity for the radical transformation. If you do not focus on today, how will you hear God? If you focus on yesterday, you will listen to the voice of Satan and failure and defeat and pain. And now you project your pain to the future. What will happen tomorrow? If I do this, will I be able to stand tomorrow? You project fear of tomorrow because you don't know what happened tomorrow. No human being knows unless God reveals you. But God dwells in the future. He knows your past, your present, and your future. He's asking you today. Sufficient for the day are His own trouble. Faith is now. The promise of God is now. Liberation is now. Breakthrough is now. Salvation is now. He said, at the appointed day, I will visit you. In the day of salvation, I'm coming. Now, now, now. You have been in the dark for so many years. You have been having trouble for so many years. But today, if you hear the voice of Jesus Christ in your heart, do not doubt. Today, if you hear the voice of the shepherd speaking to you, and you listen to His voice, your life will change today. Because Jesus is the Lord of today. Jesus, Hebrews 13:8 said, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You cannot change your yesterday, but Jesus can rewrite the history of your life. Jesus can put an end to your yesterday and give birth to a new way for you today. It is never too late. Today is opportunity. Opportunity for a change, opportunity for peace, opportunity for breakthrough. Opportunity is today. That is faith is all about. When you focus on today's need and pray to God for the real need of your life today, your future will be secured. That does not mean I don't need to plan for the future, but I plan with God. I submit my plan to God, but I focus on today, 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 today. God is here today. Your Savior is here today. Your redeemer is here today. The hand of God is today. Holy Spirit is here today. So why are you focusing on yesterday? Why can't you focus to and give hope to yourself today? If you believe today, your life will change. And that's what Jesus says. So God has set an appointed time for every single person. when the time comes, God will meet you and your life will be redeemed. Your past will be redeemed. Your present will be redeemed. Your future will be redeemed because of Jesus. Come into the matter today. Faith is today. Now, we know what to ask. Ask for salvation. That's the purpose. He came. Ask for heaven's sake. Ask for salvation because God, when looking at you, it's your salvation that matters to God. Remember the words of Jesus. What profit is for a person to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Jesus came. He's called the Savior of our soul. The supreme sacrifice at the cross of Calvary is to save our soul. Why our soul? Because the soul is a part of us that sins. The soul is a part of us that needs the grace of God. Your body is a physical part, but your spiritual side, your soul, God sees you as a spiritual person. Your soul matters to him. That's what he came for, to deliver us from the captivity of fear, the captivity of unrighteousness, and to take us to the right place with God. When Jesus came, right on Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What is he saying? Seek the kingdom of God. Why is the seeking the kingdom of God? I mean, seeking for the salvation of your soul. God wants you when you seek the deep things of God. When you ask in the natural, you have natural needs. But there are needs that nobody can see. But God sees the greatest need. Your soul. Your spirit. That's what the Lord is looking at. You have seen Jesus spent his time delivering people in their spiritual life by casting out demon, unrighteousness, seed, bad seed in your spirit, in your soul that is driving your life. It's your spiritual life that is driving your life in the physical. Whatever happened in the natural, in the physical, stems from the spiritual life. If a bad seed is growing, Jesus goes to your heart to uproot it and plant the seed of righteousness. To ask for salvation, soul, to ask for the kingdom of God, to ask for the deep things of God, it requires what we call revelation. Because these things, you can't see them with your naked eyes. What Jesus wants you to ask, what Jesus wants you to seek, the kingdom of God, does not come with naked eyes. In Luke chapter 17, verse 20, 21, he says, "The kingdom of God does not come by observation, by sight. The kingdom of God is within you." That's the mystery of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is inside of you. That's what God wants you to ask. Seeking the kingdom is seeking God, seeking Jesus, seeking salvation, seeking eternal life. Seeking that, it requires revelation. And that gives us a definition of faith. Faith is the certainty of God's yet unfulfilled promises. The promise is true. I don't have it yet. Therefore, I pursue it. I want the kingdom to come. Faith is the unshakable confidence in the reality of the kingdom of God in our midst. Faith in Christ Jesus is the unshakable confidence, the unshakable conviction of the reality of the kingdom of God in our midst now, today, as I'm talking to you, the kingdom is here. That's what Jesus said. And blessed are those of eyes that can see, ears that can hear what the Spirit says. To see the kingdom, how do we see? He said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Blessed are those that are pure in heart, they shall see God face to face. To see the kingdom, and see God face to face. That's what Jesus has said. It's not my words. That is his word. Blessed are the pure heart. They shall see God. They shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, how can this be in the natural world where we live? We have read Matthew chapter 6. Now, let me take you. Let's continue to focus on the graphic. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are talking about the ways of the Spirit, the ways back to God, the way to the secret place with God, the ways where you have relationship with your God. I'll start reading from verse 4. Paul said, Now we have such trust through Christ Jesus towards God. Verse 5. Now that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, our sufficiency is from God. Now, verse 6. God has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, let me go straight to verse 13. Since we have such confidence, we use great boldness of speech. Verse 13. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not see steadily at the end of what was passing away. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until that day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away only by Jesus. We cannot see those things Jesus wants us to ask when there is a veil that clouds our mind, our understanding, our heart. When there is a veil, you can't see through. When there is a veil, your mind will not be able to understand. When there is a veil, your heart will not hear the inner voice crying deep inside of you. Unless Jesus Christ removes the two veils, nobody can enter the presence of God, the counsel of God. We say, deep, deeper, deepest. This is the way. We go deep, deep, deeper into God's presence. Here, there is a veil. Here, there is a veil. The first one to see, I need revelation to open my eyes so I can see what God wants me to see. There is salvation promised in the Bible. It is the Holy Spirit that opened your eyes to see that salvation. There is a promise of eternal life in the Bible. It is the Holy Ghost that opened our eyes to see the promise of that revelation deep into your heart. There is God's calling for your life. The Holy Ghost will use the scriptures to reveal to you your purpose in life. It takes revelation. You need eyes that can see beyond the natural. And I will explain what I mean by revelation. When you turn your heart over to Jesus, the first thing Jesus said is to remove the veil. Mean the Lord will open your eyes to be able to see. Saul didn't know who Jesus was, but the Lord removed the veil. And he saw for the first time revelation of Jesus. But the second veil was still there. He asked for grace and understanding came. The Lord opened his heart. He understood that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And second, he entered the presence of God and became Paul. That's what God wanted you and me. We talked about it. Let's see how God will usher us to that presence step by step. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 always. We read verse 16. It says, when a person turns to the Lord, what is turning to the Lord? What do you mean by turn to the Lord? Turn to the Lord means repentance of heart. Turn your heart to God. That's my responsibility. That's repentance. Turn to the Lord. The veil is taken away. What was clouding your heart, your mind, not to see life clearly would be removed. The only way to see life clearly is to see it through Jesus. When Jesus comes, he will remove the veil. And what you could never understand, you begin to understand it. The Bible you read that sounds strange for you become alive. Beyond the words, you will begin to perceive the divine meaning. The joy of the Lord become a reality. A man of faith can have joy and be happy, whereas there is nothing to be happy about on the outside. That joy stems from your spirit because God is with you. The veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Who is the Lord? The Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberation. Where the Holy Ghost is, there's freedom from fear, freedom from lack, freedom for fear of tomorrow, because the Spirit of God is leading you to a place of safety, of abundance, when you trust, when you follow his ways. We are here to learn the ways of the Spirit. How do we know his ways? He wants you to stop looking on the outside and begin to look within. That's the way of faith. The Bible says we don't look at the things that are seen, but those are invisible. How can this be? You must have eyes of faith. Who opened your eyes? Holy Spirit. Now, how can this be possible? He says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Once we receive salvation, it's not over. The Holy Ghost will lead you step by step to grow in knowledge, in intimacy with God. In the beginning, you are unable to listen to the voice of God. But as you grow, the voice becomes louder, 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 till you begin to discern His voice. Peter, Paul, all of them were led by the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My sheep shall hear my voice." Do you hear His voice clearly? Do you hear? Because He's speaking to you. You will not hear Him with His ears. You can only hear through the ears of your heart, of the innermost being, of your conscience. That's where you hear Jesus. And to do that, it takes the Holy Spirit to hear that. That's the helper. What connects you from here to here is Holy Spirit. What opened the eyes of your heart to hear His voice is Holy Spirit. Who opened your heart to understand what the Spirit says? That's Holy Spirit. Who brings you to the point of conviction of believing what is in your heart? It's Holy Spirit. Who gives you conviction to believe what is going through your mind and to act on it and to see the miracle? It's Holy Spirit, righteousness gift from God. The Lord wants to take you to the secret place. And from there, life is a journey. You must follow the journey with Him. Now, we have seen the promise is to, from the outside to inside. As we grow, Moses came to God's presence in the mountain. And the presence of God was so glorious that the face of Moses was glittering like the sun. Nobody was able to look at him. So Moses was putting a veil because of the glory of God on his face. When he entered into God's presence, you will be imbibed by His presence, by His holiness, and by His glory. Your heart will be filled with life, and life will come out of you. We need to be imbibed by the presence of God, to be imbibed with the deep thoughts of God. When he entered the secret place, the thoughts of God became a reality. Yielding your heart over to the inner voice of the Holy Ghost makes faith a reality. What you were unable to see, you begin to see. What you were unable to hear, you begin to hear. Why? Because you have entered the secret place of God, the dimension where the thoughts become a reality. You must enter that door. You must enter that place where mercy and favor is. God does not shout. Man shouts. God speaks inside of you. He's inviting you to come to the door. Come to Him. Come to Him. Led by the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example, practical example of what we are saying today. I take Paul always because anybody can identify himself to Paul. When he was on his way to Damascus, we all know he was not seeking salvation. He was not seeking for anything. But Jesus, because of the calling of God in his life, God that day needed to take Paul to a situation where he would discover his need for salvation. You will never ask something until you see your need for it. You will never yearn for something until you see a reason to yearn for it. You must have a reason to believe. And that's what the key is. I must see a reason to give value to something. I must see a reason so I can ask in faith. If I don't discover my need for strength, I will not ask for strength. But if I see a reason for strength, I will ask for it. Saul never saw what salvation meant because he didn't understand it. He was in darkness. But when mercifully God opened the eyes of Saul and he saw the revelation of who Jesus is, that Jesus was fighting, what happened next is the work of Holy Spirit. Who opened your eyes to see what you're going to see? It's the Holy Spirit. Let me go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. So when you are praying, when you are asking, continue to ask for revelation of God's purpose in your life. If you ask for eternal things, Holy Spirit will come. If you ask for selfish reason, God will remain silent. But if you ask for things of God, God will answer you by His Spirit. Ask, but ask for God's sake. Ask for the kingdom. Ask for eternal things, the things of heaven. That's why the Holy Ghost is here to give you those things. Once you have them, everything else will be added unto you by God's grace. Now, Saul, when his eyes were open, what happened to him is what he wants us also to experience. Ephesians chapter 1, let me start verse 15, man. Therefore, I also, Paul, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers. Paul was praying for everybody to discover what he discovered, to know what he knew, to experience what he experienced. What was it? He said, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. You should ask for God to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Why? Next verse 18. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So the eyes of your understanding be illumined, that you may know what is the calling of God in your life. When the Spirit of God comes, he will open your eyes to see, to discover your gift, God's calling. It will help you to understand it. Once you understand, you will see the reason to believe. When you understand, the word of God settles in your heart. When your mind is completely renewed, you will not ask for negative thing. You ask for positive thing. You will not ask for earthly thing. You will ask for spiritual things. Understanding. What Paul is saying here, once the Spirit opened your eyes of revelation here, he will open the eyes of your understanding. That's what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 12. Eyes that can see and perceive. Do you have them? Ears that can hear what the Holy Spirit says deep inside your heart. That's what we need today. To seek the kingdom of God, God must give you the grace to have eyes that can see and perceive the things of God. God will give you ears that can hear what the Spirit of God says deep inside your heart. Eyes mean vision. Hear mean hearing the inner voice. Is it possible to see vision from God? Is it possible to hear? Yes, he heard. How did he hear? Let's go to Acts chapter 16 to see what I'm saying there. Acts chapter 16 from verse 5. God wants us to come to the secret place where he can give us instruction, guidance for our life. You will no longer walk in darkness. Vision will come. God will show you what is to come tomorrow by vision. He will move tomorrow into the present. I tell you, only the present is ours. Leave your past to Jesus. Don't worry about the future. When you pray, God will move the future to you by vision. Future moves the future into the present. You will see what God has destined you to be tomorrow. You will see the promise of tomorrow. You will see where God is taking you tomorrow. That will give you joy and peace when you see it. Now, when we enter here, once God comes and opens your eyes and you see, now he will take you to the next step. The next step is to learn the ways of the Holy Spirit. The ways will lead you to seek now the kingdom, his righteousness. What does it mean? Christ-likeness. God wants you to start building. After planting the seed, he will build you to put on the new man, to be strong in faith, to grow in Christ-likeness, to grow in the character and the fruit of the Spirit, to understand the ways of the Spirit on earth, his way of doing things. How to pray, how to talk, how to move, how to act, how to walk with the Holy Spirit on earth. He will lead you to another way of life. He will lead you to where God is waiting for you every single day of your life. Now, once we have Jesus, we still have a battle with our human thinking here. This one is still there. The battle is there. So I need to know, not only to see the revelation, but to understand from the will of God in my life. If I see something and I don't understand it, I can't believe. You can never believe something you do not understand. You need to understand. So the Holy Ghost will start by revelation here, opening your eyes to see, open your ears to hear, and then he will bring understanding here. Understanding. So the eyes of your understanding may be open so you can understand what God wants to say to you. You see what God wants you to see, mean what God is saying. You hear what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. Once you understand what he wants you to do, then your mind is changed. Your will submit. You say, hey, this is what God wants. I can see a reason to believe because now I understand. what God wants me to do in my life. Now I understand what prayer means. Now I understand what Jesus meant by this understanding. These are the elements of the divine faith we need to enter the presence of God. Knowledge by revelation, understanding that renew my mind to know the will of God. This is to be convinced, C-O-N-V-I-N-C-D. My mind needs to be convinced that this is the reason, this is the will of God for me to submit to you, to accept it in my mind. Number two, my heart needs to have the conviction that this is it. And I begin to apply it in my life. Now, let's see example clearly. When Paul in Acts chapter 16, the Lord went to send him to go to preach the gospel to the nations. We all know. When you read Acts chapter 16, from verse 5, let me go back to verse 5. Paul started walking to do the journey. But when God is leading you, the provision is daily. The provision is daily. In the desert, in the manna, God sent the every morning, collect what you need for today. Don't collect for 2 days. Those who by disbelief collected 2 days, it turned to worms. God will only give what you need for today. The scripture says those who took less, God make it increase to meet the needs of the day. Those who by greed cause you to amass more than you need today. And God does not like that. God, if you trust him, he will give you for the need of today. Oh, my Lord. When you learn to use today's supply for today's need, you will have peace and be contented for tomorrow. That's why Jesus said, give us today our daily bread. God will give you for the need of today. And they were collecting the manna every single day. And the Bible says for 40 years, the manna was coming every single day. No need to have a storage. No need of waste. Give us today our daily bread. That's what Jesus said. Father, hallowed be thy name. Let your kingdom come. Thy will be done. May let my mind be renewed at the point of understanding to know your will. Give me today my daily bread. Give me the word I need. I live by faith. I want to hear what you have in store for me today. When I woke up in the morning, God showed me what I need to do today, how to pray. Give me the word to pray. Give me how to worship, what to do, how to speak. Give me my, oh my Lord, for the necessities of life today. That's what faith is all about. Today, and leave tomorrow to God. Let tomorrow be and be focused on today. You will have peace. You will have joy. You will stop anticipating the trouble you never see. You will stop getting afraid of tomorrow by leaving your tomorrow to God and start building today. Planting today, the seed of righteousness, and you will reap it. Today, not tomorrow. That's what God says. Now, Paul left. And one day, he came. Let me see from verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Take note. The church was increasing daily. You grow daily. Year of growth is daily. You are growing daily in the spirit. Every single day you have to grow. You cannot stop. Faith cannot take a day off. A tree is growing daily, but you cannot see it. The baby you have in your hand is growing daily, but you cannot see it. If you stay for 1 year, you see the difference. But every day you cannot see it. That's why it is unnoticed. You need to perceive it growing. God sees the growth. Now, when they have gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. They wanted to go to Asia. Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. They were able to hear his voice telling them clearly, don't go there. Holy Ghost stopped them to go to preach to Asia. Why? Because the hearts were not ready to receive that seed. God does not waste his time. Verse 7. After they had come to Mysia, they obey and continue the journey. They come to Mysia. They try to go into Bithynia. They want it. Sometimes when the Spirit is leading us, we are like horses. Oh, I like this place. Let me go there. God said, no, don't go there. That's Holy Spirit for you. This looks nice. No, I don't want this for you. The baptism experience of the Holy Ghost in your life will not leave you free to choose. the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life will not leave your mind free to choose your own way. He will tell you, not, don't do this. Intimation will come. If you want to enter the wrong place, some people say, no, don't go there. That's it. They were forbidden by the Spirit because they learned to listen his ways, his way of speaking, whether by ear or whether by sight, whether by vision, they recognized how the Holy Ghost speaks to them. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches today. Now, verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Now, in a vision appeared to Paul in the night. This time, Holy Ghost spoke to him in a vision. His eyes were open to see. Holy Ghost saw him in vision, a man from Macedonia. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's the vision. That's the vision he saw. Revelation came. He saw a vision. But the question is, what's the meaning of that? I saw a man of Macedonia in the dream say, come now, help us. That's where they began to continue to meditate, to ask God for direction. Lord, what's the meaning of this dream? I continue reading. After he has seen the vision, I mean, after the revelation, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to Macedonia. Concluding. What does this mean? In their heart, they have intimation from the Spirit of God that this is where God wants them to go. That is understanding. They saw the vision. They understood that this is where God wants them to go by the testimony of the Holy Spirit in their heart with peace. Now, the conviction is so strong, they obeyed. Holy Ghost did not stop them this time because they're going to the right place. The first one, he stopped them because they were exercising their own mind. Holy Ghost said, no. But when the Holy Ghost showed them the right direction, he gave them confirmation, this is the right one. And when they went, he never stopped them this time because they were on the right direction. He would lead you step by step, day by day. So if you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, do not oppose him. Do not resist him. Ask him to give you the grace to listen to the voice of destiny in your heart. Ask him. God never asks you to be strong by yourself. It's grace. Without him, we can't see nothing. Without him, we can't hear nothing. Without him, we are fleshly. We are lost. And that's the promise, greatest promise of God, righteousness, to lead you, to guide you. Now, you can see back to the picture. If God shows me something, I should continue to ask him to reveal to me till I have the understanding of it. So at home, please, everybody, read Ephesians 1, chapter 17 to 18. Holy Ghost will always reveal you something and he will explain to you the reason why and you will understand. These are the ingredient of divine faith. Divine faith, the ingredient of it is knowledge as revealed by God, spiritual understanding that renews your mind, and conviction that it is where God wants me to do. You must have revelation, you must understand, and have the conviction in your heart. Now, when the Spirit of God comes to your mind, he will help you. What we call convince your mind that this is what I want you to do. And your mind will submit to the will of God. In this one, Holy Ghost will give you conviction, means it's faith. Conviction is an opinion deep inside your heart that this is what God will do. I conclude in my heart, I'm convinced I will do this. And when you do it, peace of heart with it, Holy Ghost will show up immediately to give you approval that this is the truth. Allow God to lead you step by step. And here you don't hear any voice. This is what I tell many people. If you are a Christian, please stop asking to hear voices. Many are being deceived by voices they hear. When the Holy Ghost leads you, in whichever way God is speaking to you, Job chapter 33 from 14, 15, whether by vision, whether by voice, Holy Ghost will give you the intimation, this is the voice of God. This is the word of God in your heart. And conviction will tell you in your heart, something in your heart will say, this is God. A strength that you cannot resist. You know it is God. It's the voice of my Father. You will not doubt that voice. That's how we learn to recognize the way he speaks. Samuel never knew, but the second time, he never missed the mark. The day you heard his voice immediately and you recognize it, your life will change. Holy Ghost will bear witness deep inside of you that it is God speaking to you. Conviction. In this area, that's what God wants us to be. We should be led by intimation in our heart, suggestion of the Spirit deep in your heart. That voice is slow. It's, oh my God, you need to discern it. I said the other day, to be saved after the revelation of the glory of God, Holy Ghost will take you to learn the way he speaks, so you can recognize his voice, to learn his ways, how he speaks to you, by vision or by word. Now, when you have the revelation of his glory, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are transformed day by day to the image of Christ from glory to glory. It will take you to the place where the light of revelation will be so great. That's what Moses had. Moses went to the mountain, had the revelation of the glory of God, and life was shining. But today, the veil is removed. Jesus will take you to the counsel of God. The place Moses entered face to face on top of the mountain, you come face to face in the presence of God. In spirit, not in your body. In spirit. Jesus, in the Mount of Transfiguration, took three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, to walk with him on top of the mountain. All of a sudden, Jesus was transfigured in their sight. God took them in the spirit and they saw revelation. They saw Jesus in his glorious body. They saw Elijah. They saw Moses. They were overwhelmed. Peter was shocked. And the voice of God came, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." They had revelation of God's voice. They saw the vision and they heard the voice of the Father. Go and read 2 Peter. Peter testified to you, "I heard the voice from glory." They saw and they heard. Eyes that see the glory of God and hearing the voice of God. They saw and they understood that it was God. When they entered the counsel of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, God can begin to speak to you, to lead you heart to heart with God. That's why I put heart to heart with God. You will no longer approach God with your ears. You will engage your spirit here deep inside of you. This is what make Elijah the great prophet we know. What make Elisha the prophet we know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the prophets we know, they were heart to heart with God in the secret place here. Take more of me, give me more of you. What does it mean? Lord, get me out of the natural, take me into the spirit. More of your revelation, more of your understanding, more of your wisdom, more of your faith, more of you till you go to the deepest, deepest. What you do here in the secret place with God, that's what reflects on the outside. Once you receive something from God here, it will come to pass. Things happen first in the secret place here in the spirit before they manifest in the outside. Everything about you will become prophetic. God will reveal you what is to come. You will know what is to come. You will see his glory here. That's what God wants for you. But if you have revelation and you don't understand it, you will not activate. It become, oh my Lord, powerless until you act on it. It is your duty, it is my duty to seek here revelation. Ephesians 1, 17, 18. Ask God for revelation. Begin to meditate. When you are asking, don't open your mouth. Say in your heart. That's meditation. This is the secret of meditation. You can never enter the counsel of God in your body, but in spirit. Begin to meditate until God takes you here. Every single day, meditate your daily bread. We give you the Bible reading every day. Are you reading it? Are you meditating? If you do so, you have to grow. You will grow. What is growth? Growth is you begin to see, you begin to hear, you begin to understand, and you begin to act faith here, and your life will never be the same. We human beings, when we come from our mother's womb, we are babies. We can't talk. We can't relate. Our mama will carry us and feed us every single day. Then as we grow, you go for solid food. You begin to walk. You start crawling. You start walking. You start running. You are still a baby. We grow. You go to primary school, secondary school. We go to university. We become adult and mature. And we build our home and begin to walk in life. That's the maturity we are talking about here today. Step by step. Deep, deeper, deepest. In your journey, in our journey of life, we need to grow deeper with God until we leave this earth. Every single day you read your Bible with a humble heart, you will always learn something new. If God is taking me every single day, I mean, every day I need revelation. Every day I need a different type of food. Every day I need to grow in wisdom and understanding. Every day my confidence will grow. My trust will grow. My love will grow. My humility will grow. I become more like Jesus every single day of my life, forever, as long as I live on earth. So, what I want to say today is the base meditation is not spiritualism. I'm telling you the truth. When I say meditation is not mystical, no. Be careful about, oh my God. We have Sangoma, witch doctor. Those that meditate invoking as a spirit, we don't know. They invoke spirit, they don't know. We don't invoke spirit. We call the name of the Lord. And Holy Ghost is Lord. He's a divine person, he's God. When you meditate on the scriptures. You meditate on the word of God. You tilt the word in your heart. You eat it. You think about it. You pray until God made the word a reality in your life. You yield your heart over to it. Your heart will eat that food from heaven. It's your heart that hears. It's your heart that understands. It's your heart that believes, that eats the word. That's the word of God. You should meditate. So the word of God in your heart will carry you beyond what is seen, beyond the realm of sense knowledge, into the very presence of God in the secret place. And there you will stand in righteousness, heart to heart with God. You will be able to hear his voice. You will be able to discern when he speaks to you. You will discern his ways of talking, his way of acting, his behavior. That is the wisdom of God. It is for you. It is for me. We tell you, we repeat it, we teach it till it becomes a reality in your life. This is where God wants us to be. In this area, I call it divine faith. Divine faith is to be able to hear the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, whether a word or revelation. Divine faith is to enter the presence of God, heart to heart, and then to be led by faith, led by the Spirit of God. This is what God wants for you and me to know and to see and to do. Last word I give you, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Prophet Isaiah, this is what Jesus has come to fulfill in my life and in your life today. If you believe, you will see the glory of God, as Jesus said. Go say to Prophet Isaiah, go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. If you hear and you do not understand, faith will never come. If you hear and you keep on hearing every single day without understanding, faith will never come. Keep on seeing, not perceiving. Mean they can show you a vision. You will never see the reality of that vision. You will read your Bible. You will never see the truth. You will sleep. You will never remember your dreams. When you hear a sound in your heart, you don't know whether it is God or not. You cannot perceive. It's the voice of God. To perceive means to be able to distinguish this from God or not from God. You'll be in confusion. Many have dreams today in confusion. They have real dreams from God, but they cannot understand it. You must see a reason to believe, and that reason comes at the point of understanding. That's when your mind is renewed to understand the will of God, to submit and to pursue it in righteousness. He said, verse 10, make the heart of these people dull. You can see now the trouble. It is our heart that sees revelation. It's our heart that have understanding. It's our heart that have conviction. Is our heart that hears, that follows the way of God, that walk in the Spirit. Our heart. Everything I show you in this graphic has to do with your heart. This is your heart. When your heart is seeking something, the kingdom of God, deep within your heart, God will hear, you will enter deep, revelation will come. Meditation brings revelation. When you meditate on the things of the kingdom of heaven, when you meditate for salvation's sake, revelation will come one day. When revelation comes, you keep meditating to learn his ways, to grow sick, until Holy Ghost come and change your mind, understanding will come. And say, yes, this is the Messiah. This is Jesus. When you read the Bible, you will understand the Bible, the divine meaning, and you will go deeper. Once you understand, you go to enter the revelation of the glory of God. You will know, this is God speaking to me. My heart hears and understands. I enter the deeper side and I let by conviction, I will move by the instruction I receive from the Spirit. You ask question, should I do this? Should I not do it? Once you leave that place, your heart will tell you what to do. Your heart can tell you, do not do, you will not do. Your heart says, do, you do. When you learn to listen to the voice of your heart, you walk in the path of righteousness. And you will succeed in every single thing of your life. That's what Prophet Isaiah said. So what do we need now today? To enter the counsel of God and to be conscious of God's presence, we need to be led by the Spirit of revelation, the Holy Spirit. That is his position in our life. First, you need him to open your eyes to see clearly what God says in the midst of the situation where you are. Are you in poverty? Are you barren? Are you veiled by the trouble you have? You can't see any reason? Begin to engage your heart with God. Lord, what is your purpose for me? Why you created me? Lord, forgive me, help me. I want to know you. I want to know your way, your kingdom, my destiny, what you have given me from. Oh, Lord, help me. These are the things we should pray for. When you pray for those things, God will look at you in mercy. And when vision comes from God, spiritual understanding will come by the Spirit of God. Mean, there's knowledge and there's understanding. God gives knowledge to those who have understanding. Take note of that. Right knowledge has to do with understanding. To be understood is to understand. God gives knowledge to those who have understanding. We call it intelligence. If you have the gift of understanding intelligence, there's nothing you cannot learn. That's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, let the anointing inside of you continue to teach you. As the anointing abides in your heart, it is not counterfeit but real. He will teach you everything. That teacher is Holy Spirit, deep inside of you. A new type of knowledge, a new type of understanding, spiritual understanding, a new type of wisdom will come to your heart. When you grow into maturity of faith, when the thought comes to your heart, you will know it is God. Intimation, suggestion, direction will come from the Spirit, and you will recognize this inner voice in your heart. That is God's will for you. That's what the journey of righteousness on earth has to do. We grow every day, deep, deeper, deepest, every day of your life. Read your Bible and remember the reason why Jesus gave us this prayer. Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done today. Give me today my daily bread. My righteousness by faith. I turn my heart over to you. Give me the bread of heaven, the word I need, the revelation I need to channel my life today. When it comes, help me to understand. Holy Ghost, lead me. Let me know you are the one speaking to me. Help me to discern the inner voice. That's why Prophet Jesus said, when you meditate on the word of God and turn it again in your heart, you will become sensitive to the voice of God and you will recognize the voice of God speaking to your heart. Every person who walked by faith, divine faith on this earth, to be in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, walk in the inner conviction of his heart led by the Spirit of Father. That's the counsel of God. Knock at the door with your heart until the door be open to you. Knock means meditate until revelation come. When revelation come, continue to meditate until you have a clear light of understanding to come. Meditated conviction come, the word will settle in your heart. When it comes, you will not doubt it. You will move into faith. When Paul understood that they would have to go to Macedonia, the next day, they took the boat and went to Macedonia. And that's how the missionary journey he had for so many years, they were led by revelation. If you're a child of God, you must be led by revelation. When you have revelation, God will give you understanding. Once you have understanding, conviction will come. When conviction comes, you will walk freely in the direction of God's calling. And that's the mystery that will lead. Nobody will know what is leading you to do that. You will go where nobody wants to go. And when you go that way, you will meet God. That's the narrow way Jesus is talking about. The narrow way, not by sight, but by faith. In Jesus' name. So I want to pray for all of you. Father, we thank you. Holy Ghost, we pray for every single person watching. Lord, this is what we need. As you instructed Paul to pray for the church, we pray you fill us with the spirit of revelation, and that the eyes of our understanding be opened so we may understand what the Spirit says to the church and to us in dreams or vision or revelation or word. Lord, we pray, Holy Ghost, take us to a place of conviction to testify to our heart that this is God. But the Bible says the Spirit of God bears witness with our conscience of our heart that this is the truth from God's, from eternity perspective. Lead us, guide us, open our hearts to your word, for it is a word that brings revelation. Open our heart to understanding, Lord. Open our heart to belief and to faith so we can walk led by your Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 In Jesus' name, be blessed.